Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. We've got a great guest joining us today. Judith Turner is joining us, and Judith is a well-known author. She's a psychic, a writer, producer, creative consultant, and she's been an intuitive consultant and life coach for over 43 years. She's the author of You Are Never Alone, Hugs from Heaven, and she's joining us today. Thank you for being here, Judith.
Thank you for having me.
So excited. I would love to hear about your journey in terms of becoming a psychic. When did that start in your life?
Probably when I was born. I kind of always felt like I knew things that other people didn't know. I really didn't realize it. I think when I was 10 and my friend changed her home number and it was unlisted, and she said, "You can't have it because my mother said we can't give it out because we had to change our number." And I said, "Oh, don't worry. I know it already. It's 201-224-2628." And that was the phone number, by the way. And it turned up a big stir in the town, and her mother had to call my mother, and and I said to my mother, I just said somebody told me because I just knew it." And they're like, "What?" So as things like that progress in your life, and you always feel like you have to lie because you know something that you're not supposed to know, so you kind of have to fib your way around. Like, and you start learning that not everybody has that. You kind of think everybody thinks. When you're a kid, you don't know that you have something different than anybody else would have. You think everybody thinks like that. So that's kind of how it started. And then big thing was I was on CBS News when I was 21 for two reasons. Number one, I helped get a drug dealer off because I told him his house had drugs in it and he was going to get busted on a certain day, February 12th in 1981. And he did. And then he gave up being a drug dealer. And then I helped find a dead body for the police
Oh,
for
wow.
I was out and I ran into these cops and they said, "We heard there's a psychic that, reads in this bar restaurant." And I said, "Yeah, that'd be me." And they said, "Well, we're looking for somebody." And I said, "Yeah." And it's where two rivers meet. And it was Spike, and it wound up being Spike and Diver. And I said, they'd find a lot of cars and it was a cop. And they really like checked, called my uncle in the police department and wanted to know if I had any information from the police that how did I know everything? And so these were things that like put me on the news and created, a big warfare. And back then it was, does this exist? Now it's, who do you go to? Who's your guru? Okay. And psychics are much more respected than they were in 1982. Okay. Good ones. Okay. Because in any kind of business, there's good and bad and everything. Okay. So this business back when I was a young kid, and I started when I was a young kid. So, and I always kind of pushed away from it at first because, like, who wants to look for dead bodies when they're 21 years old? It really wasn't. It was not fun, and the grief they gave me for knowing was kind of like, I helped them. I don't get it, but they couldn't believe it. So it took time, and over the years, I love what I do, and nowadays the new hip words are like intuitional consultant because psychic is a kind of passe word as generations change and people change words and change labels. Most people are looked at as the fact that they have an intuitional ability, as opposed to psychic means something not scientifically defined. It really is, means an it's nothing. But so in, somebody who's an intuitional consulting means you consult them because they have a good intuition, which makes more sense. So that's why. And then the reading, writing, and arithmetic of my life is, I've done everything from write the cut on CBS for Tommy Hilfiger to, write for 15 years for BC Magazine on, I call it birthday scopes back when I wrote it because I really based it on birthdays as opposed to people's horoscopes. It was based on the day they were born, because I actually have a birthday book out, The Hidden World of Birthdays and The Hidden World of Relationships. They were my first books, which are out 23 and 25 years, and they're still out today.
Yeah.
And so now the next book I wanted to do was something else with, you know, the signs from heaven and the things we feel, because I felt it was like kind of unlocking what I first started this field out in. Is back, it was questioning whether you're psychic. You know, half the world questions whether or not we see things or feel things. Could it be real? Could it not be real? And I really wanted to write a book about that. And statistically, 7 out of 10 people in the United States believe in angels.
Yes, so, they do. They really do. And I would love to hear what your experience has been like with the angels, and I'm going to use the word relationship is like, what that interaction looks like. What is it like for you?
Well, for me, we mean when I'm reading somebody and I'm connecting, or my life. Both. See, in the book, You Are Never Alone, Hugs from Heaven, I have 20 stories of my own. Mm-hmm. So every story has its own journey. And that's why I wanted to do this book, because you may sit here. I don't know. Have you ever experienced anything yourself that you can relate that to?
Yes, I think so, for sure.
Right. So we start there with your audience, and everybody goes, well, I think this, I think that. Well, there's 152 different stories. So as you read every story, the problem with, like, there's a great book out called Signs, but it doesn't give you any answers. My book gives you the story you tell me, and then I give you an answer to that story. So with every story, there's an answer. And people have been blown away by what it has done for them, and also how they interpret every story. And then they go back and read it again. I mean, it's only out a month, but it's unbelievable the reaction that people have had to this book. So as far as when I'm reading somebody, it could come in various ways. If I'm reading somebody, it could be something I hear or I feel, or I just, in the same way I describe being psychic, is I just know. It's like, I just know. There's not like, if you know something like the back of your hand, just when I'm reading somebody, it's the same way. I mean, like, okay, Alex is coming over telling me he just handed me a roast beef sandwich with bologna. Who ate that? And they'll be like, oh my God, that's my father. You know? So you just know it. There's no conflict in what you think. So, in my foreword of my book, one of Tommy Hilfiger's quotes, because he wrote the foreword, is when you know, you know. But he was talking about the fact that he always knew I would write a great book. So, and that's the same way as I describe, as people know when something's just like, you know, when you stop short for no reason and you protect yourself from being in an accident, you're like, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. Somebody saved my life today. You feel that way. So that's when you say, you know, when you know, you know. So
what do you think? And yes, you tell various stories in your book, but for the audience who hasn't had the chance to read, what do you think the role of the angels, like, what is their role here on earth?
Well, I think if you're religious, the role here is, you know, Guardian Angel Day is October 2nd. It's an authentic Catholic holiday. But for facts wise, all religions, just about every one of them, I can give you a litany of all the different ones that all believe in angels, not just Catholicism, but Catholicism actually has Guardian Angel Day. But all Abrahamic religions, which is Christian, Catholic, and Judaism, all believe in angels, hands down. Mm-hmm. But Buddhism, Islamism, all believe in guardian angels too. So it's not a one-off. It's not just certain people. It's almost every religion has their own guardian angel. So what are their roles? Their role is to assist God, if you believe in God, okay? Or some people call it their guides, their energies, okay? No matter who it is, okay, people feel things. Every day you feel something. You walk into a room, you walk into a party, you feel things. 4 thoughts a second we get. So when you feel things, sometimes you're like, what was that? Now, is it strange when you pick up a penny and in the middle of the street and you're like, huh? And then it has your exact birthday on it. Could that be coincidence? Maybe. But what if it had your deceased mother's birthday on it? Or what happens if you're driving and you see a license plate that has your father's initials who just passed? Or a song comes on the radio that was their favorite song and they always sung it to you and it happens to be your birthday. Right. So when people tell these stories in the book and then I answer it, you know, it's funny. One of the stories in the book talks about butterflies, right? Mm-hmm. And butterflies are kind of a chameleon, right? They go from caterpillar to butterfly beautifully. And so, but not everybody's butterfly story is the same. And maybe it doesn't appear the same way or it doesn't have a meaning. Is it different if it shows up at a funeral than it does at a wedding? Well, yes, it does, especially if it lands on your nose. You know, like all these stories tell a different component of the story. So it's like, I relate this book to also kind of like a dream interpretation book, except it's about angels. Okay.
Well, I would ask you this because, you know, I think many people, like you said, would look at some of these events as being mere coincidence.
Well, that's what a lot of people say. And then when it's really something actual factual, if you read some of these stories in this book, part of it is the name came up because I was talking to a friend of mine who happened to be a Hollywood producer. His name was Kevin Torin. And he was the producer of Euphoria and a million other movies. And he was 44 years old. And I started talking, he goes, oh, you got to do this book. I'll be behind you. I'll get this book going. I'll make it a podcast on HBO. We'll do this. We'll do that. I'm like, great. He said, get me a thing. We decided on Thanksgiving. So comes before Thanksgiving to about week before, a couple days before, I get a text from him and he goes, okay, great. I miss you. I love you. I want you to go with You Are Never Alone, Hugs from Heaven. Hmm. 27 hours later, he died.
Wow.
And now there's a few stories in the book about him. Okay. So now I thought the kickoff of my story ended at that particular point because I was like, it took me a while to get back on the grieving and his loss, but realizing like, I have to find someone who's going to believe in this book the same way Kevin did. Mm-hmm. But part of this book was helped written by Kevin's stories. His mother has 7 stories in the book. I have a story about Kevin in the book. Okay. And then everybody else's stories. So the story, there's a story behind the story, what brought Kevin to me. But at the same time, there's the story in it on how, if you read the preface of the book, how, you know what? Courtney Cox goes on TV and talks about Matthew Perry being her guide now that he passed on. Okay, Cal Burnett talks about how when she got flowers from Birds of Paradise, she always believed they were from her daughter. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I started hearing those Hollywood people saying it, I go, you know what? That's Kevin. Kevin's sending me a sign to move forward. Yeah. Alan Hamill talking about Suzanne Somers. Okay. All these people kept popping up. I never saw anything like that. Okay. Teresa Giudice on The Housewives talked about her mother or father. And to where I went, I kept saying, I got to do this. I got to get these stories encapsulated. So I put up a page and I got 800 people in no time that joined my page on Facebook on Guardian Angels. And I said, see, this isn't a waste of time. There's a reason for this. And the stories are all different. Even if there's a similar component, the answer, the general answer is we are never alone. And these are our hugs from heaven. The number one thing is there's no wrong. If you trip over something and find, by looking in an old drawer and you find something from your mom, and it's a note that's written, I love you, happy birthday, but it happens to be on your birthday.
Right.
Okay. And it happens to be, you've been in that drawer 100 times and it was never there before. And it makes you feel wonderful that you believe she's sending you a sign. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Like, is it a little bit of a miracle? Could it be a coincidence? Well, it could be a coincidence, but what if it's something much more? Okay. So to me, these stories and people, the reason I wanted to bring the stories together is because it's not just Judy Turner, the psychic, telling them. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's Mary and Marie and Elizabeth and Jan and Barbara and Susie and Karen and Joe and Steve and Michael. So, you know, when it's that precise day, that precise time, that precise moment that something happens that creates the story, what were the odds if I didn't have this book going on and Kevin died?
Yeah.
It would have meant nothing. But it's not like I knew Kevin a long time. And do you know, in my office, there's a 1923 poster that sits there called The Blue Angel that Kevin gave to me.
Wow.
Okay. Now I look at that completely different than what I looked at when he first gave it to me. I just thought it was cool. And he gave it to me because his parents were selling their big house and he had to clean out his old bedroom and his old office there. And he lived in California. He's like, I'm not going to move it. You can have it. Give it, you know. So does those parts of this puzzle turn into a story? Well, it is for me.
Right.
Because I had to believe that everything that came my way was an encouragement of him to say, tell this story. And his mom.
Oh, no, please continue.
I was going to say his mom has the first story of the book called, Broken People Need More Than Glue.
Yeah.
And that story is unbelievable because she lost 2 sons.
Yeah.
Not one, 2. And she never thought she was going to be even to pick up her head. But what helped her heal through this journey is believing some of the things that she watched, including this book come to life. This book coming to life validated all her stories, all her feelings, and made it feel like I can breathe again just because there's something to look forward to. And is it real? Well, does it matter if it's real? If you believe it's real, it could be real. And for so many, why do 7 out of 10 people believe in angels? Well, a lot of those same people believe in God. A lot of those people believe in Hashem. A lot of those people believe in a Buddha. It doesn't matter. If it's healthy for you, who is anybody hurting by believing they're never alone and that they're getting a hug from heaven? Isn't that incredible?
It is incredible. I think sometimes people also wonder when they've had a deceased, you know, somebody in their family or someone they're really close to pass, like how much, I'm going to say, intervention or communication can they have with us in our lives as they continue?
They can have. Sometimes people feel them a lot or not at all when they first passed away, which is very common.
Yeah.
There's even stories about dogs and cats. Not as many cats in my book. It just so happened dogs were more prevalent with the people that wrote stories.
Yeah.
and they don't have kids, and they connected to a dog, or that was their companion. So how many kind of connections? Well, when the funny story is, a woman the other day called up and said, someone gave me this book and I just want you to know my story. I took the book and I laughed and I said, oh, this is interesting. And she opened up, because I tell people, you don't have to open up from page one. You can open up to any one of the 152 stories in the book and see what reads to you.
Yeah.
And if you have time, you can start from page one and go to every story throughout the book. But the book, okay, talks to people. So she opens it up and she laughs. And she's like, oh, this is interesting. It's a story on pennies. So she gets in the shower and she comes out and she goes into a room and she said, oh my goodness, isn't that funny? There's a penny on my doorstep going out. And she picked it up and she said, oh my goodness, today is my mother's birthday.
Wow.
And she said, if I didn't read that story, but she said her mother used to always say to her, let's collect the pennies. Let's collect the pennies. Okay. And she said, then she realized, not until afterwards, that let's collect the pennies was she took the penny and said, for now on, I'm going to put them in a jar in my house and have them. And she said, I wasn't really a believer, but she said, this was really cool. I can't wait to read the next story. So someone gave her the book. It wasn't even that she was like, what is this?
Yeah.
And she wasn't somebody who walked around, but she said, it changed my life. It changed my life. Cause now I look at things differently. And until you really get into reading the stories and going back and rereading the stories, you hear different things every single time. Mm. So I think that for people, every day there could be a new story or in the making. I always say some stories are easy. A butterfly lands on your nose. You go, oh, that's a butterfly. Big thing is cardinals, right? We see a cardinal in your yard. You're like, that's my mother. That's my father. Oh, they're here today. But if they're here today and it's your daughter's wedding and there's never a cardinal in your backyard, or what someone else just sent me a picture of was the Christmas cactus bloomed on Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it bloomed on her birthday, July 4th.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Or what, you know, those kind of things happen all the time. So can it be miracles? Can it be a little miracle? Yeah, it can be. You know, when my niece was in the hospital years ago and they had decided they're going to cut off all, she was 4 months old and they were going to cut off. And this isn't a story in the book, but maybe the next book. They called up and they said, there's no hope for her. She, none at all. So I said, that's not going to happen. Florida didn't have any hospitals that would take her. There was nothing they could do for her. 0% chance of survival. She wound up, we got her into Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and the doctor there decided to take her. Then Philly wanted her, Columbia wanted her, but we moved her there. She had five surgeries all at once. Heart, kidney, her trach rebuilt, lung connected. How did she live 4 months, not 4 weeks, 4 months with half a trach, a piece of a lung, all this stuff, until she found the doctor, Dr. Cotton, at Cincinnati Children's Hospital? It saved her life. To this day, she made history.
Mm.
But when we got to the hospital, the room number was 217, which was my father's badge number.
Mm.
Okay. So when we got there, we said, okay, she's going to be okay. And whether that was false hope or not, it was a miracle of life. Okay. Yeah. And so when I walked in, I said, we're here for a miracle. And actually, her name is Macy. And miracle is, all the letters of miracle are in that name. So that's what we're here for. and she survived and she's 20 something years old and she's healthy. But if you don't believe in something, sometimes that gumption or believing in it may change your day.
Yeah.
May change your thought process. With all the negativity in the world, I look at this as the most positive book out there. Like, it gives people answers to questions they didn't even know they had.
I think also, you know, from your book, like you said in the title, I think is the most important part is you are never alone, because many people feel that way in life. They feel like there's no support structure, or you may not have like a family support system, or, you know, you feel like you are going through this world alone, trying to figure it out. And, you know, even through the stories, I think they are reminders that we, you know, there's something bigger and greater that is with us, even if we can't see it with a naked eye.
Right. There's a lot, you know, Santa Claus you can't see with a naked eye unless you're looking for him, right? What do they say? You know, believing in something when common sense tells you not to. A Miracle on 34th Street. Yeah. Okay. Like, stuff like that really, really matters. You sometimes have to believe in it. I have a story in the book called It's a Wonderful Life. And that was my dad's favorite movie. Okay. But when you read the story, my son comes down out of nowhere and says, "Mommy, isn't it a wonderful life?" Aww. And I was like, that was after my father died suddenly. And he didn't know that. And somebody called me up the other day and said, "I didn't even know this movie existed. I read your story." I called my mother and said, "Ma, did you ever hear this story?" And she goes, "It was your grandfather's favorite." It was his favorite. She goes, "Now I have to watch the movie. And I can't believe that story. And that's so unbelievable." So she said, I'm godsmacked by what just happened to me. So she said, not only that, it made me call my mother today. And she wasn't feeling well. So that's another layer of what happens. The reality of everyday life, because you think something or you feel something. Okay. You walk into a party and you see a yellow banana, and it may mean nothing. But if your mother ate a lot of yellow bananas or talked about bananas, or in my family, my grandmother forced you to have a banana every single day of your life. It was going to save your life. And, you know, you may think about that. Okay. So there's always something that's talking to you. Yeah. If you're open, and people say, "I don't know if I believe." And then when they read a story, they come back and they tell us different. Or tell me different. And I mean, this book is only out a month and I can't believe the stories. I could tell one, you know, every other minute. One of the funniest stories is two people bought one girl the book. One girl sent her a text and said, "This is coming on Amazon on October 3rd or 5th. And she opened her door and there was a package. And in that was another friend that already dropped the book off. She bought it at the bookstore.
Wow.
And she said, "I guess I was supposed to get the book." She goes, "But I got to keep both because they were gifts."
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's great. That's great.
Yes.
I also see what it's done for. You know, we have parents in the book who wrote, not just Kevin's mom, but we have another woman who wrote, who lost a daughter to fentanyl. Mm-hmm. And she's very real in the book. And I touched a lot of people's lives. Because to lose a child, and we have a few stories like that, but they're different. And they have different meanings and for different purpose.
Yeah.
You know, for her, her story was, the guy that didn't try to save her daughter's life wound up dead 2 years later. And she, you know, she felt bad that she wished for him to be gone, but not because she wanted him to be dead, but she wanted him to stop poisoning other people. And he was responsible for so many lives. So in her journey, in her story, she says, and, you know, her daughter tells her, "Don't worry. in 2 years, he will no longer be here, more or less. And that's exactly what happened. 2 years later, he wasn't there. So the message to her was, give it 2 years. Don't wish anything on him. Take care of yourself. And life will take care of him. He's not going to be able to do this anymore. So where is that kind of story in it? Well, you have to hear, you have to read Judith's Insight, which is in all three of my books. Okay. There's Judith's Insight on your birthday. There's Judith's Insight on relationships. And there's Judith's Insight on your guardian angels.
Yes. So I guess I would ask you, you know, from this book, if you had like, I guess what was the most, one of the most beautiful things that you learned going through these stories?
That we aren't alone in believing in them.
Mm.
I would say that is the most beautiful thing, is the fact that it was a it's a journey of love. The other subtitle of the book is A Journal of Love and Insight. And it's partially a journey too. And I think that really unveiling the different things, the different kinds of people who have stories in the book, and that, you know, it's kind of like back in the day in 1982, people didn't talk about being a psychic. And sometimes people are afraid to tell. Like some people, I did a big thing the other night at the Bergen Pack in New Jersey, which is like a, you know, a hall, like, you know, a venue. And I said, you know, everybody's here for the same reason. We all believe in something. And for some of them, one of the women kind of said, "Hey, I don't know if I believe. I don't know what I believe." And I said, "That's okay." But at the end of the night, I gave her a book, and I wrote to her in the book something, a sentence. And she wrote me a note yesterday saying she read that, and she wanted me to know she cried because it was her mother's exact words.
Wow.
What I wrote to her that night was her mother's exact words to her. So how does that happen? Okay, I'm a psychic. But that wasn't a thing people believed in at one time. Yeah. Now people believe it exists. Because all it is every, you know, people have the phenomenon to play the piano. People have the phenomenon to make, you know, $40 million a year being a football player. You know, mm-hmm. Taylor Swift has an unbelievable voice and is a billionaire, right? Mm-hmm. And can, and not only is she good at it, she's amazing at parlaying her life and enveloping what 92 million people who just love her voice. What's wrong with that? That's like the most positive thing that could go on. Who cares? They don't have, nobody else has to like her, but 92 million people is a lot of people to believe in it. Well, there's more than 92 million people who believe in angels if we take the world into consideration. So there's, I believe, if you believe in something that only brings you happiness, what's wrong with that?
Exactly.
Right? Like, we need the positivity in the universe.
We really do, especially
you
now.
You walk out the door and you see a blue car, and your father had a blue car, and it happens to be his birthday, and then the license plate are his initials. You're like, wow, that's amazing. And those are just simple things. These stories are much more detailed than that. A lot of them, we threw in a few ones that are easy. You know, I see a butterfly, or, you know, one girl talks about her dog, how she, the elevator door opens and there was her Brandy's picture. And, you know, she just felt like, oh my God, he's still with me. Mm-hmm. And I needed to see him today. I just needed to see him because I was having a really bad day. And she said, you know, you look into that picture, you look into their eyes and you feel that soul being there.
Mm-hmm.
Who should take that away from you? Nobody. Okay. One of the hardest things in our life that we go through is the loss of another human being who meant something to us.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who don't mean anything to us, well, that's okay. We could get signs from them too. But it's a miracle when we get signs on the right day, the right time. So the no coincidence thing, or oh, it has to be a coincidence, kind of gets blown out of the water when you read these stories and you read the answers.
Judith, thank you so much for being on our show today. Everybody, her book is You Are Never Alone, Hugs from Heaven. If people want to find you or connect with you or find your book, where can they?
Well, they can get it on Amazon. They can get it probably in any store if they order it. But Amazon, Barnes & Noble, a lot of places carry it, sell it. Booktopia, it's all over. I mean, if they Google it, they'll see it. But Amazon's all over the place, so everybody relates to that quickly, right?
Yeah.
Don't we? I mean, Barnes & Noble, if you belong to their club, you get 10% off. Right. So especially if you want to buy a few and give one to a friend, you know, that 10% starts adding up.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much, Judith. Everybody, thank you for listening today and have a good week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.